for phones, so whichever comes last, I guess. We're going to look at something that is actually extremely fascinating. We're going to look at a genealogy today, and it's a genealogy following Shaphan. And there's only one Shaphan in the Bible. We find his story beginning in 2 Kings chapter 22. So we're going to look at Shaphan. We're going to look at his sons and his sons' sons. It's three generational, which for not being a priest and not being in the book of Genesis is almost unheard of. Three generations solidly following Jesus Christ and our Lord God. And we're going to look at the father to start, Shaphan, and we'll trace right into the book of Jeremiah for the rest of his descendants. So in 2 Kings chapter 22, if you look in Chronicles and compare it, it looks like Josiah, he's king right now. It looks like he's about 16 years old. And we see in verse 3 that Hilkiah is cleaning up the temple, and he's the high priest. And King Josiah says, Shaphan, I need you to go to Hilkiah, see how things are going along. So Shaphan goes to Hilkiah. Hilkiah says, things are going great here. Everyone's doing really good work. And I found the law. I found a book of the law. It was hidden away in some dark corner. Here you go, Shaphan. So Shaphan, it says in verse 8, it says, second half of verse 8, it says, Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. And what does it say? And he read it. And those four words might sound kind of trivial, like a tack-on. But if someone handed you an ancient scroll that is crazy hard to read, and you're a scribe and you've got all kinds of scrolls already, he sat down and he read it. He read it immediately. This is what, and you might be saying, well, of course he read it. It's God's word. We have God's word. Each and every, all of us have the Bible. Are we faithfully reading all of God's word, cover to cover, not just our favorite spots? Can we see God's timeline being played out? He got, like I said, some part of the first five books of the Bible, and he was so excited to read God's word. So he reads the word, and then he goes and reports back to King Josiah. And we see this going down into verse 10. He basically gives a summary. Hey, King, everything's going good, just like I said. And then just like you wanted me to find out. And in verse 10, it says, and Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And that's a gutsy play. You don't know, reading God's word to anyone is always something that takes guts. And that was not what Shaphan was commanded to do. The king gave him specific instructions. He carried them out. This is a tack-on. And whenever Shaphan reads it to the king, we see the king's response. In verse 11, it says, now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. And because of Shaphan reading the book of the law, taking it to the king and reading the book of the law to the king, the entire nation gets reformed. King Josiah is an excellent king for the next 25 years or so until his death. He is solidly after the law. It says later about Josiah that no king followed the law of God like Josiah. And why was that? That was what he encountered when he was first seeking God. He encountered God's law. And that was because of Shaphan. So we'll carry it on. I'll try to do these chronologically. Jeremiah is really a confusing book to study because it's not in chronological order at all. But we'll look at one of his first sons. So it says in Jeremiah chapter 26, we'll start with Jeremiah chapter 26, and this is one of the sons who is actually mentioned with Shaphan in the story of King Josiah, but we're on a timeline, so we got to cut things down. So in Jeremiah chapter 26, Jeremiah has been preaching God's word, and that's what Jeremiah did. The people never wanted to hear it. Other than King Josiah, Jeremiah had only bad kings until there were no more kings left. And so Jeremiah is preaching God's word, and there's another prophet who's also preaching God's word. And the mighty men and the princes and the king hear about this, and they say, we have to end this. They need to die. And they found the other prophet, they put him to death. But what does it say about Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 26, verse 24? Nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam, son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, so that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death. This son of Shaphan, he stood in the gap. Jeremiah, he was the only thing separating Jeremiah from death. Obviously, God preserved him and used Ahikam to do this. But again, this is a courageous act. These are men that are acting counterculturally. This is not the popular stand. This is the unpopular stand. And they were willing to do that. If we keep on going, if we look into chapter 36 now, we see again, Jeremiah is preaching God's word, and this time he's written all his words down on a scroll. The scroll has come to his assistant who's reading it, and this is where it's being read in Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 10. Then Baruch read the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord in the chamber of Jeremiah, son of Shaphan the scribe, in the upper court. So again, where is God's word being read? In Jeremiah's chambers. This is where he lived. This is where he stayed. And who's there? In verse 11, when Micaiah, son of Jeremiah, son of Shaphan. So his grandson, Shaphan's grandson, is sitting there while the words are being read. And that's a lesson for all of us. Have godly men into your home. That's directly going to impact your children, right? Having godly people talking about God's word in your home will directly impact your children. And what does Micaiah do? He goes and he takes that to the princes and the scribes and says, guys, this is what the word of God says. We need to do something about this. They're all men of action. They hear God's word and they act on it. And what happens? In verse, we see that one of the men that he brings it to is his father, Jeremiah. And it says in verse 16, now it happened when they heard all the words, they looked in fear from one to another. And so what they do is they go and they take the scroll to the king. So Jeremiah and two of his friends, so Jeremiah, again, that's the son of Shaphan, they take the scroll, and it says in verse 22 of Jeremiah chapter 36, now the king was sitting in the winter house in the ninth month, with a fire burning on the hearth before him. And it happened when Jehudi had read three or four columns that the king cut it with the scribe's knife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor did they tear their garments, the king nor any of his servants, when they heard these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan, Deliah, and Jeremiah implored the king not to burn the scroll, but he would not listen. And so here we see Shaphan, when he read the scroll, what happened? Reformation. And here his son does the exact same thing. He's reading the word of God to the king, and we get complete rejection. And the thing that we can take from that is we are not faithful. The result is not in our hands. The outcome of us being faithful and doing what God's put in our hearts to do, that is not in our hands. The outcome is in God's hands. But we're called to be faithful, right? We're called to evangelize. We're not called to cause revival. That is something that can only come from God. And we see the culture was so bad, and the king, God had said that it was time to judge them. And it was time to judge them. And some men, they did stand up. They did try to have change. And they didn't listen. And they were faithful, though. That's all that matters. Their faithfulness is all that matters. Whenever Jeremiah gets to heaven, he's getting the exact same reward from God as Shaphan did for reading the scroll. That was his job. It wasn't about the results. So then we see there's one more son of Shaphan that we'll probably have time to look at. There are four sons and two grandsons that are mentioned, but we might only have time for three sons. And if we go backwards to Jeremiah chapter 29, so Jehoiakim, who is the king who burned the scroll, he's gone, and there's another king in town, and his name's Zechariah. And in Jeremiah chapter 29, we see the word of God that is getting sent to Babylon. So this is the letter that Daniel reads in Daniel chapter 9. This is the letter. And Babylon, it was about a 500-mile walk from where they were to get to Babylon. And so the king has this letter, and it heads to get to Babylon, and he's basically looking around, who are we going to send to Babylon? Who is going to go on a suicide march through roads that are not protected by anyone? Like, it's 500 miles. They are probably going to die. It's like they're all looking at each other. Who are we going to send? Bring me a son of Shaphan. Let's go. And here's another one. Elasa, son of Shaphan. Him and another guy, they make the 500-mile trek. And this guy, whenever he goes to do this, he was in the 50-plus age group. This is not a young man who's abandoning his family. This is an older gentleman who has life experience and is ready to put it into practice. And he goes. It doesn't say that he comes back. It just says that he goes. And we only know that he got there because Daniel reads the letter later. And so just older people, be faithful. It's all about, and we just see these men over and over again stepping up to the plate for the word of God. And it just reminded me, there was, in church history, I've been trying to soak up some stuff. There's just so much. But in about the 1100s, there's a man by the name of Peter Waldo. And he was one of the men who first broke off from the Catholic Church. There were some other side pieces, but Peter Waldo, he lived to about sometime in the 1100s, and they were called the Waldensians, everyone that followed Peter Waldo. Then there's also Wycliffe, so he was early 1300s, and his followers were called the Lollards. The Lollards and the Waldensians were deliberately putting the word of God in people's mother tongue. It was only in Latin at this time, so unless you knew Latin, you weren't getting anything from going to church. And it was against the law. It wasn't against the law yet, but it becomes against the law later. But these men, the Lollards and the Waldensians, when they would take the word of God to their communities, to their people, the common people, they got this nickname. And they got the nickname Men of the Book. And it was supposed to be a derogatory thing. But when I heard that, I was just like, oh, that's awesome. They're Men of the Book. You know? And that's what they were. They were these guys who were Men of the Book. And they got the Word of God. And they acted on it. They didn't just get the Word of God and sit on it. And they had an impact on the culture. We get the Reformation. The Lollards, that led to a man named John Huss. John Huss led to a man called Martin Luther. When Luther was on trial, he called himself a Hussite. When John Huss was on trial, he called himself, you know, a Lollard. And so they were just one after the other working from the word of God. And eventually we see the results. The results are today we have God's word in English. When Wycliffe was writing out the Bible, he had to do that by hand. Him and his followers wrote every word by hand in English. It was just tedious work. When Tyndale, at least he had the printing press, but they were just deliberately focused on bringing the word of God to the people. And we just see this same mentality from Shaphan and his sons. They're just so faithful to bring the word of God to the people. And it just feels... Oh, sorry, I guess I should, before I get into a conclusion, there's still a couple more. So after, we'll switch gears to Jeremiah chapter 38. So this is the last civic ruler of the people of Israel before round two. So the last civic people, we'll actually turn to chapter 40. And in chapter 40 is just where the man's story is named. So here we see Gedaliah. And Gedaliah is the son of Ahiakim. So here's another grandson. And now we see the king of Babylon, he's looking in the civic leaders and he's saying, who are we going to put in charge of these people? Bring me a son of Shaphan. And they're like, they've aged out. They're all gone. Okay, bring me a grandson of Shaphan. And that's who ends up being the civic leader until he's assassinated. And the people then have zero leaders, right? But it was the same thing. This whole family followed the father's example, right? And we don't know what Shaphan's father was like, but Shaphan was a man of the book. His sons were men of the book. His grandsons are men of the book, and that's how we change a nation, right? Changing a nation, we can look at Canada right now, and it seems like it's just on a razor's edge. We've got all the cultural Christianity that people have gone up with is disappearing. It's falling by the wayside, and everything just is going in the wrong direction, it looks like. And the way that you change a nation is by being a man of the book. And the way to be a man of the book is to take the word of God, let it change you, and when it changes you, it will change the people around you, whether that's your family, whether that's your coworkers, whether that's your neighbors. And once they start getting changed, then you're changing communities, then you're changing provinces, then you're changing countries, then you're changing the world, right? And it just starts with being faithful, reading the word of God, and acting on it. And I know that that is a daunting thing. I am so fallible. I know I am. But when we're faithful, God is also faithful. And we can't cause the outcome to be exactly how we want it. We all want Canada to be a strong, godly nation again. We all want to see missionaries going out. We want to see God's word planted all over the world. And that's what we want. Is it what we want the most? Is that what we're putting first? Shaphan had one more son, and his story is found in Ezekiel chapter 8. And in Ezekiel chapter 8, you see the one son, and 70 leaders come to Ezekiel and say, we just really want to hear what God has to say. And so Ezekiel goes before God, and God basically pulls him up in some way and says, this is what these men are doing when they're at home. And it shows them worshiping idols. And right in the middle of it, there's only two or three men mentioned, but one of them, his name is Jehaziah, son of Shaphan. Right? That was the fourth son of Shaphan. He looked like he wanted to hear God's word. He was coming to the prayer meetings. He was coming Sunday morning, Sunday night. But he was just there. Right? He wasn't in it. He wasn't a man of the book. He was a man who wanted to hear the book when it was convenient, and if it didn't say what he wanted it to say, he'd just put it to the side. And those are our options, right? Those are the options. We can read, well, first we can not read it, but when we read it, we can do what it says, or we can say, that is really uncomfortable. I don't want to do that at all. And we cannot do it. And that happens, and we see it happen. In the Bible, people willingly rejecting God's word, and we see it in everyday life. But I truly think that if we want to see our nation revived, our personal lives revived, it starts by being a man of the book, you know, and focusing on God's word and what God has to say to us individually, and then acting on it. And that's my time.